This conversation is powered by Google Illuminate. Check out illuminate.google.com for more.
So we're diving into a really interesting article today, questioning everything we thought we knew about ADHD. It's a pretty big deal, you know?
It really is. The article challenges the traditional view, suggesting things might be more complex than we initially thought. Like, way more complex?
Yeah, it delves into the limitations of current diagnostic methods and explores some promising new avenues.
Intriguing. So let's get into it. What are some of these limitations? The article points out a huge jump in ADHD diagnoses lately. Is that really a thing? I mean, it seems crazy.
Absolutely. It's led to a lot of debate about overdiagnosis, especially in kids. The MTA study, a massive ADHD research project, is a big part of this discussion.
The MTA study? What's the lowdown? I've heard of it, but...
Initially, it showed short-term benefits from medication, but the long-term results? Not so much. No real advantage over non-medicated groups. It was surprising, right?
So if medication isn't the magic bullet, what about biomarkers, genetics, brain scans, that kind of thing?
The article points out that those haven't panned out as hoped. Early promise faded with further research. It's more complicated than just a simple biological deficiency. Much more complicated.
So what's the alternative? Just behavioral observations?
That's what we mostly rely on now, but researchers are looking at EEG patterns, things like theta to beta ratios, alpha power, and event-related potentials. It's a whole new ballgame.
Theta to beta ratio? Sounds technical.
It's the ratio of slower brainwaves, theta, to faster brainwaves, beta. High ratios were initially linked to ADHD, but it's not that simple.
Not simple how?
More recent studies show a lot of overlap between ADHD and non-ADHD groups. It's not a reliable diagnostic tool on its own. Age, ADHD subtypes, and other conditions all muddy the waters. It's a mess, really.
So it's not a clear-cut answer, right? What about alpha power, another brainwave thing?
Yes. Alpha waves are linked to relaxed wakefulness. Adults with ADHD often show lower alpha power, suggesting hyperactivity. In kids, it's more complicated.
Complicated again?
Yes, some subtypes show higher alpha power, and it can be linked to other conditions. It's not a universal marker. It's frustrating, isn't it?
Okay, let's move on to ERPs. What are those?
ERPs are brainwave responses to specific stimuli. Things like the P300, which is linked to attention, are often different in people with ADHD.
Different how?
Often smaller or slower. Combining ERPs with behavioral tests can improve diagnostic accuracy, but it's not perfect. Machine learning is helping to improve this, slowly but surely.
What about people who don't respond to treatment? The refractory cases?
There are specific EEG patterns linked to treatment resistance. Things like focal slowing, excessive beta activity, and even isolated epileptiform discharges.
Whoa, epileptiform discharges? That sounds serious.
It can be. These findings highlight the need for more personalized approaches. Definitely.
So what about neurofeedback? Is that a potential solution?
The article highlights neurofeedback as a promising treatment, especially when tailored to individual EEG patterns. Studies show it can be as effective as, or even better than, medication in some cases.
That's a pretty bold claim.
It is, but the research is compelling. It's a personalized approach, which makes a big difference. A huge difference.
The article also cautions against oversimplifying ADHD. What's the concern there?
The concern is that focusing solely on environmental factors might neglect the genuine neurobiological aspects of the condition, especially in severe cases. It's a balance. A delicate balance.
So what's the takeaway? Is it all just too complicated?
Not at all. It's complex, yes, but we're learning more. Behavioral criteria are still important, but EEG and ERP biomarkers offer valuable insights. A comprehensive approach, integrating biological, psychological, and environmental factors, is key.
So it's about finding the right balance. I see. It sounds like we need a more nuanced understanding of ADHD, moving beyond simple categories.
Precisely. It's about recognizing the heterogeneity of the condition and tailoring interventions accordingly. Neurofeedback offers a personalized approach that shows real promise. Real, real promise.
It's a fascinating area of research. It really is. That was a great discussion. Thanks for sharing your insights. I really appreciate it.